Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. There's a woman who has been reporting from many of the darkest places on the planet for many years with great courage, with great clarity, and with great intelligence, sharing her insights about places that have oftentimes been associated with totalitarian regimes and their predations. She is the perfect person, therefore, to talk about one of those regimes that is currently much in the news, North Korea. Our guest for this first segment is Claudia Rosette, a prize-winning investigative journalist of extraordinary and well-deserved renown. These days, she is a foreign policy fellow with the Independent Women's Forum and a columnist for PJ Media and Forbes.com. I have been privileged to know her for a long time and regarded her insights into places like North Korea as among the most thoughtful and valuable of any. She's written recently a piece about Kim Jong-un's twisted sister, who was much in evidence in the recently convened Olympics in South Korea. We're going to talk with her about Kim Yo-jong and what she's up to and more. Now, Claudia Rosette, thank you so much for joining us. It's good to have you back.
Hi, Frank. Great to be here.
So there is unmistakably what we have seen from the North periodically, a charm offensive. Tell us about this charming woman, his sister, and what we are to make of the spectacle of what went down in the Olympics with her presence.
Yeah, what went down at the Olympics was a totalitarian propaganda coup at the opening ceremonies in the opening few days that was just absolutely staggering. It was a tremendous propaganda coup for North Korea. And the president of South Korea didn't just let her come to the Olympics. This is Kim Jong-un's younger sister and schooled with him in Switzerland, and she's worked inside the regime. In fact, the way that it was sort of mentioned in passing in some of the articles, but most of the press coverage that went to her when she showed up in South Korea for the Olympics was, I'm sure you've all seen it, heard it, it was just astounding, was this fawning, groveling press. The fact that she wore no or little makeup, her barely there makeup, her lack of bling, she was adorned with a stylish black coat, her taste for shopping in Paris. And she was then the president of South Korea, Moon Jae-in, seated her in the VIP box, just right, very near to Vice President Pence, hosted her for lunch at the presidential Blue House in Seoul, and squired her around to various Olympic events where the South and North Koreans were playing under a unified flag with the North Korean cheerleading squad. The whole thing was this remarkable exercise on the part of the South Korean president, what looked like amnesia, although I think it was something rather worse. And on the part of the North, it was, I think they must still be looking at that and amazed at their own success. Nothing has changed with the threats from North Korea. Nothing has changed with the incredible oppression in North Korea that led an unusually good UN inquiry to talk for when it was released 4 years ago about the head of it talked about the unspeakable atrocities there, about to say that officials who ran this regime were committing crimes against, should they accuse them of crimes against humanity. And the job of Kim Yo-jong in particular, now she's the trusted younger sister. He sent her as his emissary to the Olympics. So she probably does a lot more than anything her job description might entail. But her job, for which the U.S. Treasury blacklisted her last year and Kim Jong-un promoted her to a seat on his Politburo, was as a vice deputy in the propaganda and agitation department. The Soviets used to call it agitprop. Okay, now this is not just propaganda as we understand, say, public relations or advertising. This isn't just control and censoring of the media, which is what Treasury listed as what the department does. This is mind control. This is a vital department. Robert Collins, who is a longtime analyst of North Korea and its system, and put the word Songbun into the general vocabulary, which is basically the apartheid system, where everything depends on birth and loyalty in North Korea to the supreme leader, called it in a report last year the second most important agency in North Korea. And what it does is the party run by Kim Jong-un, where he's the supreme tyrant, hands down directives on everything. Those kitsch pictures, you know, looking around farms and factories, everything that people are supposed to say, do, and believe. This department makes sure that this is propagated at every level, in schools for children, in the military, in every government office. They check and cross-check each other. And, of course, the fiction that this is endlessly propagated is that North Korea is this paradise on earth. It just needs to reach this perfection of unifying the peninsula, which would be under, in that vision, the North Korean regime, Kim Jong-un, turn the whole peninsula into a totalitarian state. And what they do back home is they require people to adhere to every directive that they pass down. And this isn't just once a year. This is constant. It is a daily bombardment of this propaganda.
So it's, in a way, she was perfectly cast for this role of propagandizing in South Korea. And Claudia, just before we run out of time, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about, in the face of all of this, the seemingly muddle that we find the Trump administration in. It was sort of epitomized by Pence's uncomfortable position in that VIP box, watching this whole thing play out. But it was also evident, I think, in what we heard from Secretary of State Rex Tillerson in his interview with 60 Minutes over the weekend, in which it sounded as though he was once again saying, you know, we're going to negotiate with the North Koreans without an agenda, without preconditions, without any evident reason to believe it will bear any useful fruit at all. To the extent that there is a policy now on the part of the Trump team, would you be able to define what it is?
As far as I can discern, Frank, it's a mess. I cannot tell exactly what it is. And as soon as the U.S. officials start saying we're going to negotiate with North Korea, especially with no conditions, North Korea scores more points because we've now dignified them yet again. We've been doing this for years.
It's Lucy and the football. We've seen this play before.
Yeah, exactly. The mighty United States will talk to this threatening rogue tyranny.
Yeah, without preconditions. You contrasted this, I thought, very helpfully in one of your recent pieces, I believe it was PJ, with the president's superb handling of this whole issue in his State of the Union address, notably with the high visibility that he gave to this defector Ji Sung-ho. Again, what's going on here, and what should America be doing at the moment?
Frank, I really do believe, based on years of watching this, there is no real solution to this that rests on any hope of a diplomatic accomplishment, anything like that. The only way that this threat ends is that regime goes. And I continue to think we need to set that as the mission, and then ask how can we, with at least cost, accomplish it. And we have to look for ways, we, the United States and our allies, not to try and reach a compromise with this regime, which is something that this is a totalitarian regime that by any light should be gone, not allowed to continue to add to its arsenal.
Let alone with our help, which is what seems to be in prospect here. Claudia Rosette, so much more to talk with you about. I appreciate the superb work you have done and are doing for all of us to understand these sorts of threats and challenges. I know you'll keep it up at the Independent Women's Forum and PJ Media and Forbes. Come back to us very soon if you would. Next up, a man who has lived through this kind of horror and been an extraordinary exemplar for the rest of us, Vladimir Bukovsky, on what's going on with Russia and more at the moment. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.